how you help and deal with and focus on a prodigal son or daughter, and they might be a teenager or a young adult, but how you deal with that, how you approach that, can make all the difference in the future of that relationship, period. And so today, we're going to give you some really intentional help, help that'll be very practical if you have a prodigal in your life, someone you love, but a prodigal child who's kind of moved in different directions than you are today. And how do you approach that? And we're going to open the phone lines. I'd like to hear from some former prodigals. Maybe you want to share a perspective on what works, didn't work, what was good and bad. Or if you're the parent of a prodigal, you've been down this trail and you want to talk about some things that helped you in that process, we need your help. Parents are listening. Someone needs you today. 888-888-1717.
About the prodigal child that you're talking about, I was one of those. And there's one thing I want to recommend to parents to not say ever. My dad had told me, if you're going to leave, don't come back. He told me, you know, kind of like a threat, trying to make me to stay. He says, please don't do this. You cannot leave. Once you leave, that's it. You can't come back. I was going to come back several times. I thought about it when things got really rough. And my mom asked me later on in life, this was like 30 years ago, why didn't you call us for help? Or why didn't you? I said, because it would ring through my head that dad said, you know what? If you leave now, don't come back. We won't take you back. Words echoed through my mind the whole time for about 20 years. So anyway, that's one thing not to do if you have a prodigal child or if you think someone's going to leave. Don't ever say that. It might ruin their life, your relationship. So, all right. Well, thanks. Okay, bye.
All right, powerful start. Thank you, Kathy. Dumb thing to say. Really, come on. And I hear you as a mom or dad. You have this loving, caring 10-year-old that turns into an 18-year-old and you don't know what to do. And you're frustrated and you're button heads and you've had problems and it's easy to let something come out of your mouth like that. If you leave, that's it. Don't ever come back. When down deep, you meant it at that moment, but didn't mean it in the big scope of your relationship with your son or daughter, but it lands hard like a thud into their heart, and there it is. And so that's good advice. And you think biblically, the story of the prodigal in the Bible is a great picture for us, a word picture. The daddy didn't say that to the prodigal who said, give me my inheritance. I'm out of here. He did that and he opened the door and I bet you he prayed like crazy and left the door open, at least enough that he was looking out the window when his son was coming back home. And I know that's hard. But that's a good reminder. Thank you for sharing that. The heart of a prodigal that maybe could have gone a different direction. Maybe you've been a prodigal. You want to share some advice to parents who are struggling today? Maybe you have a perspective. Or maybe you've been through it. 888-888-1717 is my number. 888-888-1717. And let's go to Kathy in New Mexico. Kathy, what do you want to share with us?
I have a daughter. We've been doing this with her for many years. We don't say she can't come back. But when she comes back, we have rules.
Mm-hmm.
And she's had her own children because we've raised her girls in... The oldest one wanted to go with her, well, because of the life she chose. Well, now the oldest one is making the same steps, and it's the same rule. You're more than welcome to come back, but we have rules. You're not going to come in and bring that stuff in our house.
Mm-hmm. And that's reasonable. That's right. So you raised your grandchildren.
Yes, I raised two of them.
So your daughter would be out living her life, and then you raised them for, how old are they now, the grandkids? You said they're a little bit older.
18 and 15.
And the 18-year-old's kind of following in mom's path?
Yeah.
How are you doing with that?
Right now, the oldest one, she's in jail right now, which I thank God for. We've been praying for her.
Why is that good?
Well, because she's off the streets and she has to clean up. She has to clean up. You know, it's a sad way to clean up, but being out on the streets, it just wasn't happening.
Yeah. Well, how are you doing? I mean, you've been down a difficult path for years here. How are you doing as a grandma and a mom?
You know, I have a mighty God, and he takes care of me, and he gets me and my husband. I've been so blessed with a wonderful husband. He's a father. We've been married 20-some years together, 43. We lost a son during the pandemic, and God has just been glorified for us, just grace. I mean, we stick together. We have our problems, but when we always turn back to the Lord, and he just puts us in prayer, just, you know, shows us a miracle. If it wasn't for my dear Lord, I don't know where I would be.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
This lesson is not about being, you know, more saved or getting more saved. It's about going deeper in your faith and your relationship with Christ. You are as saved as you're ever going to be. You either are saved, you either have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or you don't. You're not in the middle, and you're not in works trying to get to that place. In fact, the scripture tells us it's not by works, lest any one of us should boast. It is the free gift of God. That's so true. You know, the ministry of Intentional Living, if you've listened at all, you know that we have one mission, and we want you, more than anything, to experience God's very best, his intention for your life. And his intention is good. The Bible says a hope and a future. And if that's not what you're experiencing today, then you're kind of missing the boat. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. You can still be raising a prodigal son or daughter and still be right in the middle of God's will and his intention for your life. The point is, he's got an intention. He's got something for you. His intention is good, even in the midst of that pain in the neck that you're experiencing right now, that difficulty or that physical issue or financial. He loves you. He cares for you. So it's not about perfection. It's about following, trusting. In fact, the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's not easy. Lean not on your own understanding. That's even more difficult for some of us because we think we're so smart. Come on, I fall into that category many times. And it goes on to say, but in all of your ways, acknowledge that he's right there present with you today, and then he will direct your path. And so when we think about this verse or this topic today on prodigals, like the daddy of that prodigal in the Bible, staying put, doing what God's calling you to do and be the person you need to be in that relationship because you have a son or daughter or maybe a grandchild. According to the definition, a prodigal is restless, reckless, wasteful, extravagant, spending money perhaps and resources without caring for the future, lavish, abundant, living beyond what is God's intention. And what is it that you've learned? Maybe you've been down that path and you want to help some other parent coming up raising a prodigal, or you're a parent and you have some advice as well. Come and join us. 888-888-1717.
Hi, this is Cheryl, and I just heard Dr. Randy say the program was about parents of prodigals, and I just wanted to let him know that many years ago, I guess it's been probably 8 years that my son left his faith. And I heard Dr. Carlson say one of his programs you know, that we need to love them. We need to love them back in. And I never stopped loving my son, but a lot of his choices were very hard to watch, very hard to just sit by and not say anything. But for the most part, that's what I did. I did what Dr. Randy said. Everything I could do to love him, every time we talked, you know, I would say, I love you and I'm praying for you. And you let me know whatever I could do. I didn't just leave it at that. If I knew that he needed something, I did my best to try to fill that gap, whether it was buy something, you know, babysit, bring a supper, whatever. And prayer works because he has been coming back to church and he's more open. You know, he's not making every service, but he's there. And when you're there, that's when you start to change your life. You know, one thing at a time, one step at a time, you change your life. I honestly didn't know that I would ever see this day.
Amen. Listen, Cheryl, and all parents, if you have a prodigal memory, the seeds that you planted maybe early in their life, and like some seeds, they sit in the ground, don't seem to blossom, but every few years, right? And over time, maybe they start to blossom a little bit. And so continue to love and be patient. Trust God. All right, let's get to the calls. David's in New Mexico. Hey, David, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about you, doctor?
Doing good.
I was just listening to you. I'm a victim of a prodigal myself, and I'm going to tie it all together with my daughter. When I grew up as a Catholic. I did everything as a Catholic. I was an altar boy. And there came a time where I left home. I ran away from God. I went indulged, and I fell into addiction. I became a full-blown alcoholic. Mm. At the same time, I had two children, a daughter and a son. The son never saw the drunk part of me, but the daughter saw both sides. And when I hit bottom, and I was about to lose the children after a domestic violence crime, that I abused my wife and I beat her up. Mm-hmm. God appeared to me, and out of nowhere, I don't know how it did, but he said, you don't have to live this way. I said, Lord, help me. And I turned, and I've been sober for 34 years. Mm-hmm. And my daughter would come, and my daughter and my son would go to the meetings with me because my wife would abuse them because I wouldn't buy her alcohol or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I hit famine. I hit a very desolate part. And my daughter witnessed both sides. And one time she was gone to my parents, and I left my wife. But I couldn't do it. I had to choose mm-hmm. between my sobriety. If I stayed with her, I would die. So I called her and I said, you got a choice. I'm leaving your mother. And now you can decide, well, you want to live with her or me? And she said, you, Dad. I said, why? Because you're sober.
Mm. Because you're sober. You know, it's a reminder. David, you're reminding us as I hear your story. God is a redeeming God. He's a saving God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He restores. Doesn't mean the pain isn't still there and the scars aren't still there, but you say something that's really important. I think it needs to be passed along to this next generation, or to parents if you're struggling. Your kids are watching. They see the difference in your life. They're going to catch your life more than they're going to catch your words. They're going to catch how you live more than how you want them to live and tell them how to live. And like any of us, we watch carefully. And David, your daughter saw this in your life. And so you've learned the lessons, and that's important. All right. Thank you, David. I appreciate it. I got to move on here. I got Mary on the line in Michigan. Hi, Mary. How are you?
I am well. Thank you.
And what have you learned about prodigal parenting?
Right. Well, like most parents that have the prodigal, they move on with their life and they go and make bad choices. But honestly, I've just learned that not, and you just said it before I could get a chance to, We stayed in the church. Once we started going to church, our son did not want to go. And at that time, we were young Christians, and my husband said not to force our son to go. And he was early teens, maybe 12, 13 years old, so he never forced him to go. Our daughter, on the other hand, we raised her in the church. Neither one of them are in church physically right now, but they are both serving the Lord. Just being faithful to live our lives in front of them as Christians, to love them unconditionally, and to always reinforce that we are there and that we're praying for them. They are, like I said, they are both serving the Lord now wholeheartedly and raising their children also. So it's been a long journey. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. So your relationship is good with them?
Oh, absolutely. With both of them. It's phenomenal. It's just, it's God's miracle. When my son broke free with the power of God from alcohol and drugs, and my husband, it's bring me to tears, praying so hard for him. And the Lord said, he's my miracle. Mm-hmm. He told my husband, he is my miracle.
Yeah.
So wow. God did a work in him where he, you know, not only saved his soul from hell, but he delivered him. And he's obviously a born-again Christian.
That's powerful. Listen, we see a theme here, and I would say to parents, if you have a prodigal son or daughter today, and you hear some of these stories that we're going to share today, and then we're going to just roll on over and continue to record the show for tomorrow with the same theme, I think what you're going to hear is prayer, patience. You can't get in there and take a 19-year-old and make him do what you want him to do. It just isn't going to happen. And if you do, they're going to resent you for it. And eventually that won't stick. It's got to be their decision. And it's important to plant those seeds and be patient. At the same time, we started the show by someone saying, hey, we didn't tell our kids if you're a prodigal and you leave, you can't come back. But we were clear when they did want to come back that they can't bring all their junk back into the house, their drugs and their lifestyle and the things that we don't approve of. You know, this is our home and we want our home to run in a certain way that's reasonable. Not legalistic, but just this is the way this home operates. And we'd love to have you be here and be a part of it. We want to be a part of the family. But, you know, if you're here, these are things that we would expect. That's respect that we would have for each other in any situation, wouldn't we? All right, let me get back to calls here. Let's go to Arizona. Diana, welcome to the show today. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
What's your take on the prodigal parenting?
First of all, I want to say thank you. I love your show. Thank you for being such a blessing.
Okay.
I had my daughter, I went through a lot with her, as a prodigal child. But one thing that I want to share is that, sometimes we as parents, we think we can love our children and protect them more than God can. That is so far from the truth. As I was going through this, I learned how to pray on my knees day and night. And one of my prayers, one of the times as I was praying, God brought to me the story of Eli and his sons. And anyways, I'm trying to make it small, but I had to ask my daughter to move out. She was living with me. I sat down and told her, Mama, I love you so much, but I cannot allow you to be under my roof with the lifestyle that you have. Mm-hmm. You have a right to live the way you want, but not under my roof. So I'm not asking you to leave right now or tomorrow, but I'm asking you to leave as soon as possible.
Was that as difficult to do as it sounds like it was?
Very, very hard. But I felt like the Lord was, I mean, like I said, and I had to understand that it was his child first and before it was my daughter. And just as I love my children, I mean, the word tells us very clearly, you know, we being evil, we want good things for our children. How much more does he want for us and for my daughter, right? So it's a lot of trust because You know, and one of my verses is like Proverbs 3:5-6, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding, right?
Right.
You know, and everything acknowledge him. So I had to understand that. For me, it made no sense, but that was not my job. My job was to trust the Lord. So, and I told her, you will never be homeless as long as I have a home. But just know that your stay in my house, as long as you have that lifestyle, has an expiration date. Get back on your feet and move on. You know, you will always be my daughter. That's never going to change. Fast forward, she is now married. She has gone back to school. Oh, my goodness. Oh, glory to God. And now she comes back to me and just says, Mom, you're such a strong woman. And one thing that I want to say, never stop speaking to your children. They do listen. Even though they smack their lips, they roll their eyes, whatever they do, but they are listening. She comes back to me now. We talk for hours, and she will always say, you remember what you told me this? Remember what you told me that? When I thought she was not listening, she was. And never, ever stop speaking life into your children. Never close the door on them.
Amen.
She understood very clearly that I was not on board with her lifestyle, but she was always going to be my daughter.
Mm-hmm. Boy. That's a great place to close right there in terms of that call, because, Diana, you remind us that our kids, we do have influence in the lives of our children. And, of course, as they get older and they become late teens and into their young adulthood, they obviously are they're not kids anymore, but they're still our children. And we still have impact and influence. And a lot of it has to do with how we choose to respond. I keep going back to the prodigal story in the scripture where that daddy had an enormous amount of patience as he waited and prayed, but doesn't sound like he followed. He did some things he didn't do. He didn't follow his son down the path to try to fix him, because God was the one that had to do the work in his life. And I think sometimes moms and dads and grandparents, we can jump in the way of what God is trying to do in the life of our children and try to do it ourselves because we don't want them to go through some pain. Or we know, and we do. Come on, sometimes as parents, if we're being honest, we know more than our kids do. We've been down the road. So we think our advice is really good, and usually, and many times it is. But you can't force that into their brains. Sometimes it's only through the experiences of life that they can make decisions. Now, there's always a balance. I mean, we want to be there. And as Diana said, it's important to be able to communicate, keep that line of communication open, ask for permission. Hey, can I make an observation and speak into their life every time you have an opportunity? But you can't control them. I love the fact that Diana is also reminding us that you are you. You have your home, your life, and the way you want it to operate as a Christian, and that your kids are welcome to be a part of that as well, but that you can't just have their lifestyle change all of the values in your own home, in your own life. Can't do that. It's not right. All right. We have another break. Let's take a quick break and we'll be back. We're going to leave the phone line open, by the way. If we run out of time here in the next 3 or 4 minutes, we'll get you on and tape for the show tomorrow. Okay. If you're a prodigal, been a prodigal, been through this process, you want to share your story, tell us what you've learned. People are listening. People need help. We're in this together. This is Intentional Living.
Are you experiencing real freedom in your faith or simply going through the motions? In Dr. Randy's message called Process for Faith, you'll learn how to move beyond routine faith and intentionally develop a deeper, more personal relationship with God.
Everything that we've said, everything that I've tried to share with you in this lesson about growing in freedom in your relationship with Christ comes down to one thing. And that one thing is to be present with God every day.
Support Intentional Living with a monthly gift today, and you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this special opportunity. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt. Come do that because you want to make a difference in someone's life, and we can do that together. And that's why. Thank you. 888-888-1717 or theintentionallife.com. Robert, welcome to the show today. Go right ahead. What's your comment or question?
Well, I had a prodigal, a strong-willed child who wanted to do what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it because he wanted to do it.
Right.
And his brother was sick, and so we had to spend a little time with the brother, and the older boy would try to use that as a ploy to say, well, you love my brother more than me. We spent time with him, took him to the ball games, the things that he liked to do, and tried to do the other. But he would pick fights with his mother to show he was stronger than his mother. We had to ask him to leave the house. Now, when we did, he went with people in the area where there were people that we knew who kept an eye on him to make sure he stayed safe. And safe is the key word.
Right.
But what he was looking for was a safety net. And I have to tell you, I'm not sure he has come home. I think he's come home to stay overnight, maybe. And then he wants to go out and do his own thing. I think we have to be careful not to get into what's called performance-based love.
Right.
If you loved me, you would do this for me. And that's what we got. We got a lot of that. And we would say, no, we don't have to, and go our own way. But like I think you've said it on the radio, keep the door open. He knows he's welcome home. He knows we want to help him if we can, but he needs to know that as an adult now, we have to take care of ourselves, and we may have to say no.
Absolutely. Good balance. Robert, you're in it. You're in the middle of it right now. And we'll be praying for you and many people who are listening who couldn't get through but are struggling, some in tears today, because you love your kids, your grandkids, and you know that there's a better path for their life. But what we've heard is some firmness. We've heard some love and tenderness, conviction, confidence as parents, trusting God and prayer. These are things that have come through. I'll tell you what, we're going to just roll this right into tomorrow and take your calls and get them lined up to air tomorrow. So if you're a prodigal, been there, you're a parent, you have a story to tell us, what have you learned to help others, give us a call right now, 888-888-1717. Got to run. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. We'll be back tomorrow from Intentional Life Media.